It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I bet you ain't never even been laid. How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to talk to this guy who's been waiting patiently for us. Let's get Josh Gad on the phone here.
Gad.
Josh, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to young Hollywood, Josh Gad. You still 21? It said that in your little bio thing. Have you turned 22 yet?
You know, I'm actually older than 21 and 22. I think my bio lied to you.
Oh, my God. How old are you now? What are you, 40?
I'm 45.
45. Congratulations.
Yes.
You look great.
Thank you so much. I feel really good for my age.
I mean, you are young Hollywood. I don't care what anybody says. And
I appreciate
it is nice to have you on the show. You got the huge movie that's coming out, The Rocker.
Yes.
How do I say this nicely, Josh? I want to get this out of the way right away.
Yeah, please.
Hollywood is in love with guys who don't have the typical movie star look right now. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
No. Are you calling me fat?
I'm fat. I'm very fat.
Not as fat as me.
I'm fatter than.
Yeah. No. It's definitely a good time for character actors, as they say in Hollywood. I get comparisons to Jonah Hill and to Jack Black. I think it's something about our teeth.
that must be it.
You know, though, the thing is, with that look, I don't know. I'm trying to put my finger on what is the formula that works with, you know, with Jonah and with you. You've got the look, but there's a coolness there that is the trailer is all I base it on in The Rocker, which I watched again and again and again. When you say when you're talking to your sister in this trailer, do you threaten to shave her head or stab her or something? I forgot what it is, but you look.
Yeah.
It's so cool the way you deliver it. It's so real, and you got to have the chops to be able to do that as well. And now, now The Rocker, probably the one of the biggest projects. I mean, you were in the television show with Patricia Heaton and Kelsey Grammer, and 21, the movie 21. But this is a big deal. This is you're kind of right up there with Rainn Wilson carrying this movie, right?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's a Josh Gad film.
It's a Josh Gad production.
I'm glad to share the spotlight. No, it's been an incredible year. I mean, it's been an amazing opportunity to go from one project to another, where the caliber of talent keeps getting more and more incredible. And you know, you go from working with people like Kevin Spacey and Lawrence Fishburne to Patricia Heaton and Fred Willard and Kelsey Grammer. Mm-hmm. And then the incredible comics of The Rocker, like, you know, not only Rainn Wilson, but Will Arnett, Jeff Garland, Jane Lynch, mm-hmm. Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis. It's an amazing thing, and I've been very, very lucky. And I love it. I'm really excited, and it's getting great buzz. So.
How cool is it to work with Dwight Schrute? I mean, Rainn Wilson.
I am
obsessed with Dwight. We love the Office, and he is just and it's not just the goofy look.
It's the fact that
he brings it, and he brings it, and it looks like he brings it in this movie too.
It's incredibly cool. It would be like if you know your co-star on your radio show had their own bobblehead. How cool would that be?
Yeah. Someday, Mike.
We're working on it, Josh. We are really working on it. He's just he's a multi-talented guy, and I'm happy for him too that he has a starring role in this movie. And it looked like it was one of those comedies that just had to be a blast to work on.
It was unbelievably fun. It was a lot of hard work. We were working six days a week, doing really long hours. Most of the time we were working at nights, so you would go from like 6 p.m. until 9 a.m. in the morning, and you'd just be exhausted and go back, sleep the day off. And it was one of those things where we didn't have a huge budget, and so it was a lot of work, but all of us under the skillful director, who directed the full Monty, we all just kind of went with it and had an amazing time.
Now, when you have that schedule, the 6 p.m. till the wee hours of the morning, is that because you're doing a lot of night shooting? Is that why you need to do that, or is there another reason for it?
Well, what happens because of guild rules and a lot of other stuff that's kind of boring.
That's SAG rules. That's the guild, Actors Guild. I'm a Screen Actors Guild member,
you know,
Josh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you're talking about.
That whole strike that's going on.
Yeah, talk to me. I'm a fellow actor. I know what you're talking about. I'm a member. I'm a member of the guild.
If you read your SAG book, which I'm sure you have.
Oh, I memorized it. I committed it to memory. Absolutely.
So you know that you have a certain number of hours that you have to have in between going from work back to work without penalties being paid and stuff. And so we were falling into a pattern of not being able to just get out of night shoots because we were going over it. So it becomes a difficult thing where even though the shots are during the day, you're forced to shoot at night because of what the schedule permits.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a little logistics that I didn't know. Yeah, Rob, you got a question for Josh?
Yeah, the names that you rolled off on that list of people that are in the rocker, particularly Jeff Garlin and Will Arnett, two of the funniest people that can be booked on a talk show.
Brilliant.
Just amazingly funny people. Do they bring that energy to the set, and is stuff added to the script even up to the time of shooting?
Absolutely.
Is there improv going on, or how much is God?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Really?
Okay, then.
No, it's all, they actually follow the script.
They showed up on the set, and they brought nothing but boredom.
Yeah, I thought so.
And I'd heard a rumor, just a tremendous amount of cocaine on the set. Is that right, Josh?
You know what? I don't like to talk about that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry.
Not only cocaine, but meth also.
Crystal meth.
A lot of meth.
Hard crystal meth.
That's the energy we were looking for.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was one of those shoots where it's a rough job. Acting, you know, up there with welding
at night.
Yeah.
Explain to me the Hollywood system. One day you wallow in obscurity, and then the next scripts are landing in your lap because you've done. You're on a bit of a roll right now. That's how it is, right? It just happens in the blink of an eye. How long were you wallowing? I mean, you're a kid. You're what, 23 now? Let me get the age for you.
I am 27. I'm 27.
Well, wait, why'd they say, well, what the hell? I'm reading like that you were 21. Like an hour ago. What the hell? 27?
These publicists.
What took you so long, Josh?
They like to keep up this like air of the guy is so young, he's never going to die. Uh-huh. He's going to be there 100 years from now playing high school kids for your children's children. You know, they like to keep people feeling safe.
It started out, he was 12 years old when he was in kindergarten.
Yeah, last year while I was doing interviews, I thought I was 15. So
you're 27, you got the boyish thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
But isn't it, what I always find amazing when people analyze people that do what you do, they don't really look at it as a job. I mean, I know you have to manage your career, but isn't the bottom line, you're a working actor and you do whatever the hell you have to do to, you know, to make rent just like everybody else. And that's what you're doing right now. And if you have a baby face, you know, Jesus Christ, play it till you're 38.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I definitely have had a lot of fortune and I've been very, very, very successful really quickly. But, you know, it was very difficult. For 3 years, I wasn't working at all. I was out of college and I was literally doing black box theater and I was on unemployment insurance just trying to survive. You know, I don't come from a wealthy background by any means, and it is very hard. And those of us who get the opportunity to do what we love, it's an amazing, amazing thing. But it takes a lot of work, and it takes, you know, I went to conservatory program for 4 years to study drama. I wasn't somebody who just woke up and
Carnegie
said,
Mellon, right?
Carnegie Mellon, that's right. Good job with that research.
Thank you. It's and, so damn easy with the internet now.
Apparently, according to your math, when I was like
when you were 4
years old. Yeah.
You were a prodigy when you were 4 years old.
Yeah. But, you know, my first break was on Broadway, and then from there it just kind of all fell into place. But
well, I loved you, and Back to You, I thought it was a great show, and I'm sorry that didn't work out.
Yes.
You were known on that show as a character who
sweated a lot.
How often did they spray your pits with water to keep that alive?
You know what? It was probably like around every 5 minutes, I would be whisked backstage, and they would just start spraying me. It was disgusting.
Did you get a rash from all that spraying?
It's a personal question.
Yes,
he's not going to go there.
One which I will absolutely answer. Yes,
he did get a rash. The other thing I wanted to ask you about when you did the movie 21 with Kevin Spacey and Lawrence Fishburne, and a great cast there. How many of the cast members kind of really got into the spirit of Vegas because you were out there filming, and how many, you know, got the gambling bug and really pursued it? There's something I read. I don't know where it was. It was in my head. It was out of my head that you got into it. Kevin Spacey said something about it.
Yeah, these are how sick rumors start. Next, I'm going to be like a drug addict because on your show I said we did cocaine and meth.
You're a compulsive gambler.
Yeah. No, well, that's not particularly true. If by compulsive he means horrible. horrible, then yes, I am compulsive. We all, you know, we had a blackjack training instructor who kind of taught us the ins and outs of the method of counting. By the way, I was like Rain Man in those sessions. I came up with the cards, but I was counting them on my fingers. I'm such an idiot.
when they teach you counting, and if you don't mind talking about this for a little bit, when they teach you that, and even if you don't have the math ability to do it, and obviously this was based on MIT math whizzes that were using this system, can you take even limited information and bring it to a blackjack table and get any benefit from it at all?
I think some of the cast members, which I will not name at this time, were able to use that to their benefit. I, however, was still an idiot and lost more money than I had prior to trying it.
Okay, so it didn't work out for you.
No, but you know what? Instinctively, in the game of blackjack, you either can tell when the cards are going the table's way or when they're not. And that's a fundamental premise. Whether or not you're a mathematical genius or you're Joe Schmo, you kind of get that itch, and that's the gambling phenomenon.
At risk of being too technical, when you're counting the cards, isn't it basically the face cards and tens have a plus value, aces have a plus value, and the other cards have a minus value,
that's right.
And they balance each other out, and when it starts running very low, that's when you bet high.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you explained it far more erudite than
I
ever.
I'll tell you, Rob.
That's all right. I still lose a lot of money, too, Josh.
Rob is one of the guys, if we play poker with Rob, he introduces all these weird games that none of us can figure out.
Don't you hate that?
That's a pain in the ass.
Hey,
yes, Josh, thank you. It is a pain in the ass. It always has.
I sit down to play a little Hold'em, and all of a sudden we're playing like Russian blackjack, blinds down.
Yes.
Everybody pull out a gun.
Right. Follow
like,
the
no.
hippo, all right. that crap.
Thank you kindly, Josh.
It's garbage. All right, before we let you go, I do want to mention you are working on a new film, Mardi Gras. I will ask you about that in a second, but before that, and this speaks to the whole way I started this interview with the Hollywood in love with guys that don't fit the whole movie star. How is it going? What is your love life? How are things? I know it's personal, but we all want to know, what's it like? You're Josh Gad. Are they throwing underwear at you? Are you getting laid? What is going on?
Yes. They, as in my wife.
Damn it. God damn it. I'm mad at that answer. I did not know you were married, and now I'm officially, I am pissed off at this interview right now. Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I didn't mean to let you down.
Josh,
I didn't mean to let you down.
Josh, for my sake and for every other radio interview you do and every TV interview, this is the answer, okay? Listen, you're married. I don't even want to hear about it.
Right.
All right? I'm really sorry. This is the interview answer, okay?
Yeah.
You know, what's amazing is women want to baby me. Women want to just, they want to nurture me. And, you know, what's amazing, and this would be like, you got to be careful, obviously, with the FCC and all this, but, you know, one woman just wanted to clasp me to her breast and just, you know, act like my mom. She was 36 double D.
Can we say one woman loved me with her body?
Yes, one woman loved me with her body. How long? All right, I'll get the real answer. How long have you been married?
I've actually only been married for 3 months.
Wow.
So there's still time to screw it up, I'm sure.
That's awesome. Tell us about your new film, Mardi Gras, which is kind of what, one of those classic, a bunch of guys go down and try to have a great time at Mardi Gras and all sorts of crap happens. Is that what we're talking about?
Dude, it is so fun. Yeah. I was in Vegas and I'm like, you know what? I really got to go to a fun city and do something a little different. So I went to New Orleans for 2.5 months. Yeah. And these three guys go down to Mardi Gras, and you know it's like Superbad by way of old school and Animal House. It's just got all of those great old school lampoon, you know, road trip movies kind of feel to it, and I just love it. I think it's hysterical. And it was really a lot of fun to play a role that's vastly different than kind of the techie nerd that I play in The Rocker, and even to a certain extent in 21, and just go, you know, full out with it. And I'm very excited.
Oh, that's good. And, you know, it's are you going to stay with these kind of comedies? Because you really do. I mean this. I will blow a little smoke up your ass now, if you don't mind. There is a little bit in you that I do see an ability to, and I mean this seriously, make that transition into heavy. heavier stuff.
Sure,
and do you have do you have a desire to do that? Because I think you could make that transition.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember that I spent the formative years of my life doing Shakespeare and doing things like that.
Okay.
And for me, it's theater has and always will be a primary passion in my life, and I definitely want to continue to challenge myself, and I feel like I've only just begun to show audiences what I have to offer. Hopefully, cool. They'll keep allowing me to show them.
Do you have a role model career-wise? Anybody that you kind of model yourself after?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I feel like Tia Carrere.
Uh-huh.
I get it. From Wayne's World.
I get it. That's good. Katie liked that one. Yes, calm down. That's right. You liked that quite a bit. That's right. Patty Duke, I heard, was there.
Patty Duke is up there.
For the old people that might be listening right now. That's cool.
Phil Hoffman, I really love Philip Seymour Hoffman, and big fan of Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Well, that's cool. Listen, the movie is The Rocker, and all I've seen is a tiny little bit, but it looks very, very funny. And you look like you have a good time in that, and we wish you good luck with your film Mardi Gras that'll be coming out. Is that later this year or next year?
Yeah, it should be coming out in April 2009.
Okay, Josh, so pleasure having you on the show, and good luck to you, and we hope to have you on again real soon.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great one.
All right, take care. That's Josh Gad from The Rocker. He was in, if you don't know who we're talking to, he was in Kelsey Grammer and Patricia Heaton's TV series Back to You. That's not on anymore.
The heavy set news
also
director.
He's been in ER, appeared in Broadway, and the Tony winning role of William Barfi in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That was a very big show on Broadway. And Rainn Wilson, Christina Applegate, The Rocker, out in theaters Wednesday, August 20th. The Rocker is the story of a failed drummer, Robert Fish Fishman, played by Rainn Wilson. I've seen the trailer.
Oh, the trailer's a panic.
He's running next to the van. I like that. Hopefully it'll be good. And incidentally, we'll see. Joe McLeod will tell us whether it's good or not. He's given a second chance at fame, and Josh is Matt Gadman in The Rocker. So that should be a really, really... The Gadman should be very...
Very funny, very talented, and seems like a nice guy.
If you want to see the trailer, go to MikeOMaraShow.com, and you'll be able to get all the information you can. I noticed something as I was thumbing through the mounds of paper that we get on this show
on a daily basis.
Robert the Angry Mailman, his ultimate destination is Brazil. Is that
Brazil,
where he's going?
Yes.
Do you realize that Brazil, I did not know this, that Brazil is on the list of the world's most dangerous travel locations?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It
says, really?
Brazil has long been known as a crime-ridden locality.
Huh.
I knew this like in the poorer areas of Brazil, but I didn't know that it had spilled out. I just hope Robert's aware of this.
Sure.
However, things have now reached drastic proportions.
No kidding.
With Brazil taking the dubious honor of being more dangerous than Iraq, thanks largely to the recent spike in gang violence.
Whoa.
As highlighted by this spring's riots that gripped the entire state of Sao Paulo, this, along with Brazil's ever-deepening divide between rich and poor, make Brazil one of the world's most dangerous nations to visit.
Well, he picked up a good deal then.
Maybe he'll stay.
Got a bargain.
He'll stay in Rio where it's
You want to know the other ones?
Sure.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, that's obvious.
Mm. Sacramento.
Here's countries.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right, Rob. Dangerous travel locations. Modesto.
That's right.
Chico, Stockton, and Folsom.
Davis.
Afghanistan, almost 8 years after the American-led invasion, large parts of Afghanistan are still controlled by the Taliban. You know that. And that's never boded well for anyone's safety. Algeria.
Okay.
Civil war, kidnappings, and beautiful scenery.
Yes.
Algeria has everything you could ever want in a destination, well, except for those first two.
Mm-hmm.
Chechnya. I think that goes without saying.
All these, where is there left to go?
Russia is quite a dangerous location.
Sure.
Where does one summer?
Where does one summer?
Where does one go for one's final summer vacation?
I am so tired of Bar Harbor.
Says the rebellious province of Chechnya takes danger to a whole new level.
Hmm.
Just say the name Chechnya. It sounds scary, doesn't it? If anyone has ever seen the movie Beyond Borders, no one has.
No.
I thought that was about a bookstore.
They would know that's where Angelina Jolie's character dies in the film.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I just ruined that movie for you. So anyway, let me see. Colombia, dangerous. Double threat. Not only does a visitor to Colombia have to deal with crime common for a poverty-stricken Latin American nation, there's also the matter of those pesky FARC rebels. The threat of kidnapping remains high. And when FARC kidnaps you, don't expect to be seen again for at least a decade.
You're farked.
You are totally farked. Mm-hmm.
It's a lousy thing to happen.
Equatorial Africa. Some African countries are doing well, but it seems that the equatorial African countries are having the hardest time coping.
Does that mean near the equator?
This is the whole area. While the apes of the Congo, Rwanda, and Uganda make for an appealing reason to visit, it's best to tread carefully on the ground. So Congo, Rwanda, and Uganda, very, very dangerous.
Do the apes ever kidnap you?
I don't think so. I've seen those movies.
I say it's the heat.
Haiti. Uh-huh. By far the most dangerous and lawless country in the Caribbean.
Now, that's overblown because I've got a cabin there.
Haiti, one thing in common with a few other places on this list, it was once invaded by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was Grenada.
Same thing. I think it's the same place.
Is there anybody we haven't invaded?
Iraq is bad. You know that. Pakistan's bad. Anything
it's
unusual.
Bad, right?
Saudi Arabia, that's bad. Might be misleading, but Saudi Arabia is a very safe place for a Saudi Arabian.
Sure.
However, as a foreigner, I don't think it'd be possible to feel at ease in the nation with anything short of an armed team protecting you. I didn't know that. I thought they were kind of like an ally.
Yeah, I thought so.
Serbia, one of the most dangerous nations for Westerners, particularly Americans. Sri Lanka, any place where the rebel group is so bold as to call themselves the Tigers, has to make the list.
And Branson, Missouri. Awesome.
Robert, be very careful if you're going to Brazil. It's going to be very, very dangerous.
Brazil, Serbia, and Chechnya. It's a really long trip.
If you want to see the trailer for The Rocker, go to MichaelMarishow.com and you can see our good friend Josh Gad. That's right. He's our buddy now.
He seems nice.
27 and married. What a disappointment that was.
But I will never play cards with him, thanks to you.
When we come back, there was an accident in Hollywood.
Yes.
Yes, a big Hollywood star. Mm-hmm. The door will open and we will chat with him when we come back on The Big Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.